Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Lally Group H1 2022 results conference call. I am Alice, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Roger van der Weijde, CEO of Lally Group. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to welcome you to our conference call in connection with the half year 2022 financial results of Lally Group, which we published earlier this morning. My name is Roger van der Weijde, CEO of Lally Group, and I'm here on the phone together with our CFO, Mr. Alexi Rubinsztein. Thank you for taking the time for this conference. In the next couple of minutes, we would like to walk you through our half year results slide presentation. As you have seen, the presentation is available on the Lally Group website, and we will go slide by slide. I will start with a brief summary of our performance, then Alexi will provide a more detailed overview of our financial results, and I will then conclude with our business priorities for the second half of the year, as well as our financial outlook. As said, after the presentation, we will be happy to take your questions. Let's go directly to page number four of the slide deck, which summarizes key takeaways for our business performance in the first half of the year. First, we are very pleased that the group's business has recovered significantly compared to the first semester in 2021, when our activities were still partly impacted by COVID-19 related protective and lockdown measures. Now, for the first half of the current year, we achieved group sales that were well above pre-pandemic levels. In terms of growth, we benefited from our diversified portfolio and achieved broad-based sales growth across various fields. We saw a particularly strong performance in the perfumes business, which was supported by equally solid results in other areas, in particular the crystal business, as well as in the area of gastronomy and hospitality. Let me add here that we are also back to growth with our Ultrasun sunscreen products. However, sales are still below pre-pandemic levels, which is mainly due to lower demand from China. From a group perspective, our performance in the first half of the year also reflected steps to expand the business. This included the opening and reopening of various sales points in the second half of 2021 and in the first half of 2022. Looking at the first half of the year, it is also worth mentioning that the results include, for the first time, the Château Laforie-Perriget Hotel and Restaurant, which we acquired in July 2021, as well as the Glen-Turret Lalique restaurants that opened in summer of 2021. To conclude this slide, let me point out that as a result of higher revenues, Lally Group also increased profitability and is on track to reach its midterm targets. Now let's turn to the next page, which gives you an overview on our key financial numbers for the first half of the year. Starting with top line growth, operating revenue increased 29% compared to the first half of 2021 and was 19% above the pre-pandemic level back in 2019. Total costs went up 34%, which reflects the business expansion I mentioned before, as well as intensified marketing and sales activities. It is also due to the fact that our cost base was reduced on the back of the pandemic in the prior year period. In terms of profitability, EBIT rose to 6.3 million euros, and the EBIT margin increased to 7.6%. It is important to note, however, that both these numbers exclude exceptional income of 1.7 million euros in the form of insurance benefits related to year-long legal proceedings in France, which have now been finally concluded. Including this exceptional income, EBIT amounted to 8 million euros with a margin of 9.7%. The group closed the first half of 2022 with a net profit of 4.6 million euro, up from 3.1 million in the first half of 2021. Lastly, Lally Group continues to have a solid liquidity and capital position as our balance sheet remains strong with an equity ratio of 50.4% at end June 2022, compared to 50.9% at the end of last year. And with this, let me now hand over to Alexi Rubinstein, who will give you a more detailed overview of our financial results in the first semester.
Thank you, Roger. And also from my side, I would like to welcome you all to this conference call. So to look at our half-year financials in more detail, let's go to the page 7. And here you can see an overview of our key figures for the period. And I would just highlight a few. We can see here that revenues went up to 83.2 million versus 64.7 million in the first half year 2021, corresponding to a 29% increase, 25% exactly in local currency. Including the exceptional income of 1.7 million received from the insurance of our former council. Sales increased in all segments and all markets except Russia, but we will see this more into details in the slide that will follow. The gross margin increased at 57.8%, exactly, excluding the exceptional income, versus 53.1% as of first half during the first semester 2021, especially thanks to the strong performance of our fully owned retail business network at plus 41% with higher gross profit margin. Personnel cost increased by 5.5 million compared to the first semester 2021. This is mainly due to the acquisition in July 21 of Château Laforêt-Perregaux Hotel and Restaurant, as well as the opening of the new Glen Turret restaurant at the same time. We also had a furlough in the first half year 2021 for 1.2 million. And lastly, we opened new boutiques in the second half of the year 2021 and first half of year 2022. And finally, we had also the new distribution setup in the Middle East for the perfume business. For the same reasons, operating expenses increased from 9.3 million to 13.1 million, as well also to the due to the necessary reboot of marketing activities after the COVID crisis. But OPEX during the first half of year 2022 were still 2.4 million euro below the first semester 2019, thanks to the remained strict cost control applied in all group entities. Financial result has been impacted by non-cash unrealized expenses of 1.2 million due to conversion effects of intercompany loans in foreign currencies. Consequently, EBIT rose to 8 million, 6.3 million excluding the 1.7 exceptional income. With regard to the improved profitability in the first half of the year, let's look at it in more details on the next slide, slide 8. So here we can see that excluding the one-off effect of 1.7 million, EBIT would have rose by 1.9 million to 6.3 million, reflecting strong sales performance in all markets and increased gross profit margin, offsetting increase in cost due to business expansion and reboot marketing activities after the COVID crisis. Let's now turn to page 9 with an overview of our result breakdown by our business segment. Here you can see on this slide our segment organization consisting on the segments Lalique, Ultrasun, Jaguar Fragrances, the Glen Turret, as well as the other brand segment, which is composed by the brand Samurai, Bentley, Grey, Lalique Beauty Service, our perfume filling factory, and Lalique distribution companies in France and in the Middle East. We can highlight here that Lalique still represents 54% of the total sales of the group, as well as 46% of the group EBIT. So let's move to the next slide, slide 10, to take a closer look at the Lalique segment and the drivers of the strong performance during the first half of the year. Lalique overall sales increased by 28% versus the first half year 2021 and is 31% above pre-pandemic level. We had a significant sales increase in the crystal business, +5.4 million, strongly driven by our own fully owned Lelit retail network with a +2.8 million during the first semester 2022. Lelit Parfum increased its revenue by 1.4 million, reflecting particularly strong sales growth in the Middle East, thanks to the new distribution we have now set up in the region. Hospitality business revenues rose by 2.9 million. As a reminder, Villa René Lelit and Château Robert were partially closed during the first semester 2021, and also we opened the Château La Forêt Perraguet, as already mentioned, hotel restaurant in July 2021. Gross profit margin increased at 61.1% versus 57.1% in the first half year 2021 due to the improved margin in crystal and perfume business. Personnel costs increased slightly above 2019, mainly due to the Château La Forêt Perraguet acquisition, and operating costs increased by euro 2.3 million versus the first semester 2021, reflecting business expansion, as well as necessary reboot of marketing activities. We can highlight here that OpEx remained 2.1 million euro below the first semester 2019. Consequently, EBIT reached euro 3.8 million with an improved EBIT margin to 8.3%. With this, we go to the page 11 with the Ultrasens segment. Ultrasens generated sales of euro 11.3 million during the first half year 2022, with a recovery of 15%. However, Ultrasens sales in the first semester 2022 are still significantly below pre-pandemic level, mainly due to the sharp decline in China, while U.K. and Swiss market performed well. Gross profit margin increased by 6.5% versus first half year 2021, but remains still below first semester 2019. Total cost increased back to pre-pandemic level, mainly due to the intensified marketing activities, and the EBIT increased to euro 1.1 million with an EBIT margin of 9.5%. Turning now to slide 12 and to the Jaguar segment. Operating revenues increased by 37% back to pre-pandemic levels, mainly due to the positive developments in the U.S., India, Benelux, as well as in the Middle East. We had here a stable gross profit margin at 33.4%, and the costs are back to the pre-pandemic level as in all brands of the beauty division. Based on the solid sales growth, EBIT improved to 1.8 million with a margin of 16.2%. Now let's go to slide 13 with the segment dedicated to the whiskey business, The Glen Turret. The Glen Turret segment continued to grow in the first half of 2022, increasing operating revenue by 42%, but still slightly below expectation due to the delay of the release of the 2022 products. Hence, we expect a more significant growth in the second semester 2022. The contributing factors of this increase were the distillery visitor center and shop, which only reopened in April 2021 last year after being closed due to the pandemic. The Glen Turret Lelit restaurant, as already mentioned, was opened in July 2021. The investment in the first infrastructure, and in particular in the automatic mash tun and production, as well as the expansion of the business, was reflected in an expected increase in total cost of 27%. EBIT amounted to minus 1.6 million during the first half year 2022, slightly improved compared to the first semester 2021. Let's turn now to the other brand segments on slide 14. Here we can see that Blade & Clay fragrances continue to grow strongly, up to 67%, with a broad-based intentional increase. The growth resulted in an increased EBIT margin of 22.5% versus 18.8% during the first semester 2021. Parfum Samurai operating income was slightly below first semester 2021 due to the continued pandemic-related market restriction in Japan, but the EBIT margin remains very high at 36.2%. Parfum Grey sales increased significantly by 41%, with an EBIT margin at 17.3%. While Brioni perfumes significantly increased sales during the first half of year 2022 as a result of further market wins and new launch of the first fragrance, but has not yet reached the critical size to break even this year. Lally Beauty Service operated at high capacity thanks to the higher group demand, but also thanks to a new third-party customer. Consequently, the EBIT of this segment increased to 3.2 million euro with an improved EBIT margin at 18.9%. To conclude this financial part, let's go to the slide 15 and our balance sheet. We see here that our operating cash flow, which were at 9.9 million this year versus 6.7 million during the first semester 2021, has been fully offset by the repayment of COVID credit for 16 million. And consequently, we had a net cash decrease by 3.4 million as of end of June 2022. Intangible assets and non-current liabilities rose respectively due to the capitalization of the new Superdry perfume license. And we see clearly here that our balance sheet remains very solid with a strong ratio, net debt EBITDA ratio improved at 1.5, and equity ratio is still strong at 50.4%. With this, I hand back to Roger for the third and last part of the presentation.
Thank you, Alexis. Yes, let's go to slide 17 with our business priorities for the second half of the year. Of course, we are continuing to drive sales as the positive trend seen in the first semester is lasting, despite the uncertainties regarding the evolution of the economic environment. Operating expenses are increasing on the back of our sales growth. However, we are nonetheless maintaining a tight cost management in order to optimize profitability. Sales growth also requires us to increase our production capacities. During the summer break, we have installed and commissioned a new electric furnace to replace the old one that reached the end of its life cycle. In addition, we are reorganizing, expanding, and to the extent possible, modernizing our cold glass production workshops to address increasing demand for our crystal products. As a result, we have seen an increase in productivity at the Lalique factory of 14% in the first half of the year. In terms of product launches and projects, let me mention the recent launch of our first NFT collection under the name The Impossible Vases, as announced on September the 8th. I presume that most of you will have seen that press release. Further, in July, we have started the rollout of the 2022 Glenturret Whiskey release, which so far has been very positively received in the marketplace. Also, we have very recently unveiled a new Lalique art project consisting of the iconic Hope sculpture created by the artist Robert Indiana. While the original sculpture is made of steel, we have edited it in a limited edition of 8 pieces in Lalique crystal. And last, you will probably have noticed this morning's press release with which we announced the acquisition of the traditional silk label Fabric Frontline, which is renowned for its high quality silk accessories, especially scarves and foulard. The acquisition, which is expected to be completed in spring 2023, will offer opportunities for collaborations and co-branding projects with the Lalique brand, as we have already done in 2015 when Fabric Frontline was under its current ownership. And even though this is not for the second half of 2022, I take the opportunity to remind everyone of the Villa Florhof project, which we announced in July. And this, of course, a longer-term project due to materialize in 2024. Villa Florhof will then reopen as a Lalique hotel and restaurant in the heart of Zurich and will complement our gastronomy and hospitality business. This brings me to the final page, slide 18, with our financial outlook. First and foremost, with regard to the current year, Lalique Group expects the current positive trend to continue until the end of 2022. However, given the stronger prior year comparison base, we anticipate that sales growth rate will to be lower than in the first half of 2022. Looking further ahead, we are holding on to our midterm targets that we originally set in April 2019 and extended by 1 to 2 years given the setback of the COVID-19 pandemic. Taking this into account, we take the view that we are making pretty good progress and are on track to achieve those targets. As always, our outlooks are subject to unforeseeable events in today's environment in particular. And with this, I thank you for your attention, and Alexis and I are now happy to take your questions. Operator, please, who has the first question?
Our first question comes from the line of Patrick Schwendimann with Zürcher Kantonalbank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Patrick Schwendimann, Zürcher Kantonalbank. Good morning, Roger and Alexis. Congrats for the strong results. I have several questions, if I may. First question regarding Ultrasun. Overall sales for the group have been 19% higher versus H1 19, but as you have already mentioned, Ultrasun was still much lower, 27% lower than in 2019. But I guess there's still more sales recovery potential for Ultrasun, or what would you say is the new normal full year sales figure for Ultrasun in a normal year for the future? That's my first question. Second question regarding the Lalique brand. I assume this was the EBIT was including this legal case of 1.7 million. If I would exclude that one, then the adjusted EBIT margin for the Lalique brand was at 4.7%. Are you satisfied with this margin for the Lalique brand? And what more has to be done that also the Lalique brand would have a high single-digit EBIT margin? Then third question regarding the Glen Turret. You've already mentioned that you would expect an acceleration in growth in the second half of the year. What's here your best guess for full year sales for the Glen Turret? And do you still expect to reach break even for the full year for Glen Turret? And last question regarding CapEx. CapEx was much higher in H1 with 8.3 million. What is here your best guess for the current and next year and also maybe for the midterm? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Patrick. The first question on Ultrasun. We'll have to see that back in 2019, we reported a first half year turnover of 15.5 million compared to 11.3 in this year. And the main point here is that turnover back in 2019 included 5 million in sales to our China distributor, which we are missing this year. So having said that, all of our other markets have actually gone back to pre-pandemic level. UK and Switzerland, which are two of our key markets, have actually increased compared to 2019. So we are quite happy there. As far as China is concerned, we had a spectacular breakthrough in 2017, 18, and 19 with our formulas for sensitive skin and sun allergies. However, we have seen in the meantime, we have seen a shift in consumer demand to more fluid and easy to apply formulas for daily use. We also see that a lot of female customers, they tend to layer sun care with makeup and skincare products. However, these product features are more difficult to be in line with our philosophy, consisting of absence or lack of questionable ingredients such as preservatives, silicones, etc., and also with high SPF claims. So in terms of product development, this is a challenge for us. And of course, on top of that, we are now reevaluating our brand positioning and the distribution strategy with the Chinese partner, which heavily contributed to growth those past years. We expect that the Chinese business will increase again from next year onwards. It's difficult to say at this stage when we will reach those pre-pandemic levels with in a total of 7 million euro sales for the Chinese market in 2019, but we expect that we'll make significant steps in that direction again. Does that answer your question regarding Ultrasun?
Yes, thanks a lot, Roger.
And I will. The second question was on the EBIT margin of the Lalique segment, which, excluding the exceptional income, amounted to 4.7% and the further potential. In view of the current situation and rising energy costs, we're not sure that we will be able to significantly increase that margin in the short term. However, going forward, we expect that we will be able to raise it. Whether it will be high single digit remains another question, but we definitely expect margin to rise on the midterm to a level of roughly 7%, and then after that, we'll take it from there. And of course, that increase in EBIT margin will mainly be driven by the perfume business, which has a very strong EBIT margin, as you know, and to some extent also in the crystal business as we increase our production capacities at the factory.
Great, thank you.
Then you asked about the full year forecast for Glen Turret. This will be mainly driven by the 2022 whiskey range, which was unfortunately delayed. We could only start shipping in the month of July, and originally we had expected to be able to ship in May, but we think it's just a shift between first and second semester. And as I said, the range has been very well received. We are entering new markets in 22, mainly with the US and China. And so we expect a significant increase in sales. And also the second main contributor will be our range of Cristal decanters, which are selling very well at very high prices, and so that will also contribute to the performance of Glen Turret. For the full year, we expect a sales turnover in the range of 6 to 7 million euro. GBP.
And in terms of break even?
Well, if we achieve this level of sales, we should come very close to a break even EBIT.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
And I think your last question was on CapEx.
Yes, exactly. After this 8.3 million in H1, which was significantly higher than last year, what is your best guess here for the full year and next year, and maybe also midterm if CapEx will come down again?
Well, certainly CapEx will come down already in the second semester. We have undertaken major steps at the factory with the new furnace, with the new acid workshop in the coarse glass section. Now we are optimizing all equipment with various lines for polishing and also for the production of drinking glasses. So we expect that investment at the Lalique factory will definitely come down already in the second half of the year, but mainly in the years to come. What we are planning, however, is to invest in a new maceration workshop at Lalique Beauty Service, our perfume filling factory. Those investments are planned for 2024. And that will, of course, then have an impact on CapEx again.
And what does this mean, just as a best guess, in terms of numbers for the current year and maybe 23, 24, just as a best guess?
We don't have those figures right now in front of us, Patrick. But we can talk about it the next time we're on the call together.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
We have a follow-up from Mr. Schwendimann, Zürcher Kantonalbank. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot, Patrick Schwendimann, Zürcher Kantonalbank. Yes, just a follow-up in terms of the sales guidance for the full year. You have mentioned still a strong growth in H2, but some a little bit lower than in H1. What does this mean? Around 20% for the full year? That's my first question. Then second question, in terms of the EBIT margin, you just have confirmed the midterm EBIT margin guidance of 9 to 11%. Is this already valid for next year, for the year 23? And my last question is just around the Fabric Frontline acquisition. What exactly are you taking over? You're just taking over the brand, or also taking over some production facility and manpower? What is really behind this?
Okay. Yes, the sales guidance for the full year, we're quite optimistic there. We have seen that the momentum of the first semester has shifted to the second semester, at least so far, as of mid-September, and also traditionally speaking, our second half year turnover is always higher than in the first year, especially due to the holiday season business. So in terms of sales in absolute numbers, we expect to double, at least double, the level of the first half of the year. But as we pointed out, to the second semester of 2021 was already very strong. So we think that the growth rate in percent will be slightly lower in the second half.
That's why I have mentioned around 20% or a little bit above 20% then.
Yes, I mean, yeah, we haven't made numbered estimations, but that might be it. Then you asked about the EBIT margin, the midterm EBIT margin target, 9 to 11%. Yes, we think we're pretty close now with 7.6% at half year. We don't expect that this margin will be, or this margin rate will be, significantly diluted until year end. At least right now, we have no signals that this will be the case. But again, looking at 2023, our concern is mainly supplies, increased supply costs due to logistics bottlenecks, and of course, soaring energy prices. So we don't expect a significant or any margin improvement in next year. But hopefully then the overall economic situation will stabilize and normalize again. And then it should be, then we believe we will swiftly achieve this 9 to 11% target range.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks a lot.
And Fabric Frontline is it's a share deal, so we're taking over the company, but it will be stripped of most of its assets, and for example, we will not take over the lease of the shop in Zurich. We will not take over any personnel. So in de facto, it comes down to an asset deal where we take over the brand and its know-how, and the idea again is to come up with limited or small collections of silkware that will complement our crystal and perfume offering, but we have not made any concrete plans yet. But it will not be, annual collections two or three times a year. It will be on a case-by-case basis. Also to match our novelties that we'll be launching in the crystal and perfume segments going forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this means the takeover price is rather a symbolic price, like 1 million or even less than.
It's a very symbolic price, and of course we have agreed with the sell side to keep this confidential, but it's not a significant amount.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you have mentioned the first collection is planned for spring 24, so this means there are basically no sales than expected for next year?
No, I think you're mistaken. 2024 is Flohof, the opening of Flohof. We will probably come up with a small collection next year, but again, this is not finally decided yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in the terms of, you just have mentioned the boutique, you don't take it over, so this means it will be 100% wholesale business with an online boutique, so there are no shops.
Well, we did the co-branding project in 2015, where we sold the silkware in the Lalique shops, and it went quite well. I mean, it was not high volumes, of course, but and so that's clearly the objective. And whether or not we open up additional sales point going forward, that remains to be seen. Fabric Frontline used to have a shop at the Zurich airport, amongst others, and was also listed in the Swiss onboard duty-free range.
Right.
So we'll look at these opportunities, but right now it's not been decided.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot, Roger.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to turn the conference back over for Mr. von der Weide for any closing remarks. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, so if there are no further questions, we would like to thank you again for the time you took to attend this telephone conference. Wishing you a good day, of course, and we look forward to speaking to you next time. Thank you very much and have a nice day.